Secretary of State Marco Rubio's trip to Rome this week has a dual purpose: mend fences with both Pope Leo XIV and Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. President Donald Trump's clash with the Pope over the Iran war has dominated headlines, but the fraying of relations with Prime Minister Meloni has also been consequential amid a transatlantic rift over NATO. As Anna Mulrine-Groby writes from Brussels in a piece today on U.S.-NATO relations, Mr. Trump's treatment of the alliance as largely expendable is sparking resolve among some members that a European approach to military matters may not be such a bad thing. It's Friday, May 8th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. GOP lawmakers in Tennessee passed a new congressional map that carves up the state's only Democratic-held House seat representing Memphis, a majority Black city. The map, passed on Thursday, now goes to Republican Governor Bill Lee for his signature. Tennessee joins other GOP-run states in the South that have seized on last month's Supreme Court ruling against race-based redistricting to redraw district lines for partisan gains ahead of midterm elections in November. Tennessee's map moves Black voters in the Memphis area, who overwhelmingly support Democrats, into three different districts with substantial Republican majorities. The leaders of Brazil and the United States met at the White House. In a closed-door meeting on Thursday, President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva met with President Trump almost a year after the United States slapped 50% tariffs on Brazil and sanctioned a Supreme Court justice over a court case against Trump ally and former right-wing populist president Jair Bolsonaro. These talks were seen as an opportunity for Lula, as the Brazilian president is known, to reset a rocky bilateral relationship, and he was expected to broach critical minerals and cooperation fighting organized crime. The two leaders skipped a scheduled news conference, but Mr. Trump posted on Truth Social, "We discussed many topics, including trade and specifically tariffs. The meeting went very well." Also, Nigerian troops rescued 9 people abducted from an orphanage. Authorities said gunmen stormed an Islamic orphanage in Lokojar in central Nigeria on April 26th and kidnapped 23 pupils from the facility. 15 people were recovered shortly after the attack. School kidnappings for ransom have become a recurring problem in Nigeria, with more than 300 students and teachers abducted from a school in the country in 2025. The latest rescue took place in a nearby forest area, according to the Army. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Since late 2024, and especially so now as part of the U.S.-Israel war against Iran, Lebanon's Tehran-backed Hezbollah militia has been the target of powerful and persistent Israeli attacks. So how is it that it keeps on fighting, even intensifying its own attacks on Israel? Scott Peterson reports from Beirut, Lebanon, for The Monitor. President Donald Trump's reported plan to punish NATO allies over Iran war disputes, alongside troop pullbacks from Germany, has renewed Europe's efforts to strengthen independent defenses. It also signals a faltering transatlantic security bond. Anna Mulrine-Groby reports from Brussels for The Monitor. Anti-Semitic crime is an increasing concern for Britain's 250,000 Jews. Institutions like Shomrim Northwest London, a volunteer neighborhood patrol, are helping to respond to attacks like last week's stabbings in Golders Green. Contributor Mark Rice Oxley reports from London for The Monitor. The movie, The Sheep Detectives, unfolds a murder mystery in which a flock searches for its shepherd's killer. Raised on detective novels read aloud by their caretaker, the sheep scour the countryside for clues in a film that entertains children and adults. Peter Rayner writes for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on North Korea as a peacemaker. North Korea has closely watched Russia's failure to conquer Ukraine, along with Iran's calamitous missteps in trying to dominate the Middle East with proxy militias. This week, news broke that the regime in Pyongyang might have learned a lesson about avoiding such misguided aggression. After more than 7 decades of threatening to use force to reunify with South Korea, it officially gave up claims on its neighbor on the Korean Peninsula. It rewrote its constitution to remove an obligation to realize the reunification of the fatherland and the ethnic Korean people. This does not mean Seoul and its American ally can now stand down their defensive forces against the North's nuclear arsenal, nor has South Korea given up hope of peaceful reunification. But the constitutional change, which was first signaled in 2023, suggests a warming of what has been a long, cold peace. To add a possible new normal, a North Korean women's soccer team will travel to Seoul to compete against a South Korean team, the first such match in years. The May 20th tournament, held by the Asian Football Confederation, means the two nations must coordinate on security and other arrangements. Under its new policy, North Korea frames the match as between separate countries. In general, it describes relations as two hostile states, perhaps a recognition that the two are only technically at war after a 1950-53 conflict that ended in an armistice. Despite that, the constitutional change may provide part of the institutional groundwork for peaceful coexistence between the two Koreas, Lee Jung-chul, a North Korea expert at Seoul National University, told the Korea Herald. Other changes hint that the country's leader, Kim Jong-un, might now realize that North Korea and its largely closed economy must be more open. This fits in the context of a prolonged effort to redefine North Korea as a normal state, just like any other, Christopher Green of the International Crisis Group told the Financial Times. The previous normal, preparing to break through the borders of another country, has lately not worked well for a few other countries. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, in turning to divine love as our shepherd, we find comfort as well as needed corrections on our forward course. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case, Mackenzie Farkas, and Victoria Hoffman.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.